Now, Professor Kylie Quince is part of a new Auckland University study which has examined what happens to tamariki when a parent or primary caregiver is imprisoned and whether the rights and interests of those children are being properly considered in bail and sentencing decisions. Thanks for joining us again on the program, Kylie. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale.
Thank you. It's good to catch up with you again. What prompted this research, Kylie, and what do we currently know about the impact that a parent's imprisonment has on kids' well-being, their education, and indeed their life-term or long-term life outcomes?
So the research is prompted by a number of stories that we've heard over the years about tamariki and rangatahi having poor outcomes or not being, even agencies and the courts not knowing that people that they are likely to send to prison have children. So you may, listeners may remember the case of poor Malachi in Tauranga in 2021, killed by a caregiver that his mother had passed on to a friend because she was sentenced to prison for drug-related offending, and he was killed by that friend. Now, the courts weren't aware that his mother had a child. Agencies weren't aware that his mother had a child until concerns were raised. So this is a long-running issue in terms of how do we even know? So that comes to your second question, is what do we know? Well, for one, we don't even have good data about the number of children who are impacted, who have a parent or caregiver in prison. And, of course, the impacts are likely to be the ones that you flag. So we don't know where they live, who's going to care for them. And, of course, this is more likely to impact children when their mothers are sent to prison. So that's likely to be our focus. What happens to children when their mamas go to prison? They're far more likely to change where they live, who is going to care for them. When fathers are sent to prison, generally speaking, mothers retain custody and care of children, whereas their lives are much more significantly disrupted in terms of where they live, where they're going to go to school, who's going to care for them, and really important day-to-day things and relationships like your friends, the ability to play sport. All of those things are much more likely to be impacted when a mama is sent to prison or on bail.
In a sense, the kids do time too, don't they? And I mean, it's shocking that really the impact on tamariki has been somewhat overlooked with our urgency to imprison in what is regarded as one of the most punitive systems globally. The study looks at whether the courts adequately consider kids' rights and interests when making bail and sentencing decisions. In your view, there obviously are gaps in the current system that may be overlooking the needs of tamariki. You've touched on some of them. Why is it that the welfare of tamariki isn't prioritised in the court's decisions, and it feels as though their interests, their lives are just collateral damage?
So I think there are two parts to that. One, in order for their interests to be considered by decision makers, so particularly to be thought about by judges who are making decisions about bail or imprisonment, or even for lawyers who are acting for people who are likely to be sent to prison that have dependent tamariki in their care, is that the first thing is they need to know that those children exist. And this is quite a significant barrier. You and our listeners will know, as iwi Māori, that there are reasons why you might not want to disclose the fact that you have dependent children. The fear of what may happen to children if they are uplifted by oranga tamariki, if they have other state or crown agencies interfere in their lives. We can understand why that may be, that you may not disclose the fact you have children. So that's a really significant barrier we need to think about and overcome. Are they going to be safe if they are removed from whānau care? So the second part is, if we know that those children exist, the lawyer knows that they exist, they advocate for their interests in court, we need to have judges appreciate and understand what the impacts on those children's lives will be. So I think those are the two reasons. One, they're not taken account of because they're either unknown children, and two, I don't think there's a clear appreciation of what those impacts are, which are, of course, extend far beyond the period of bail or custody generally. If you don't, one of the things we'll look at is whether or not children of incarcerated parents are less likely to achieve NCEA or other educational achievement, whether they have other periods of instability, including moving houses and being disrupted from all of those other ordinary childhood relationships and activities.
Professor Kylie Quince is our guest. Kylie, we know of the deplorable situation where so many Māori are incarcerated in our own land, given that Wahine Māori are significantly overrepresented in our women's prison population. What unique impacts does parental imprisonment have on Māori tamariki, whānau and wider communities? Is there a cultural arm to the research project? And also, what specifically have you been asked to do as a contributor to this research, Kylie?
So I might start at the end there, which is, as you said, the majority of wahine imprisoned in Aotearoa are wahine Māori. They are the fastest growing prison population of all populations, including men in this country. The impact on children, that wahine Māori are more likely to have children, and those children are more likely to be born to a solo parent. So three quarters of Māori children have one parent by the age of one, and more than half of them are born without a father in their lives from birth. That means impacts are, of course, much more likely to be far-reaching because those children are likely to be cared for by wider members of the whānau rather than a father. The primary caregiver is often the only caregiver for tamariki Māori. So we're talking about quite a different impact. So the cultural part of that, of course, is to consider what are the supports that are given to grandparents, for example, who step in to care for mokopuna. MSD, Crown systems don't necessarily view anything other than the nuclear whānau, nuclear family, as being normative or usual. And so there needs to be clear support and understanding that it is an ordinary thing for us. Imprisonment isn't an ordinary thing, but of course being cared for by wider whānau members is perfectly normal and appropriate in those circumstances. So my contribution to the research is to interview lawyers who advocate for wahine clients who have children who may be impacted by potential imprisonment. We're going to interview women with lived experience who have been to prison, who will tell us about their children and what impacts their parenting relationship as a result. We're also going to talk with people in schools, so teachers, principals, so that we can hear from, A, whether they are aware that children within their schools, school communities have parents in prison. How do they find out? I mean, again, there are good reasons why a whānau may not want to bring that kind of attention to their children. And then what happens? What kind of support can schools offer to ensure that children's education isn't disrupted or interrupted?
Well, you sense it can't help but be. And I guess the intergenerational impacts as well need to be considered, whether some of these kids will end up following the same pathways. As I say, and you touched on it earlier, they want to get them to their sporting events, some whakamā when they turn up at school. It can be very burdensome, and it's wrong that our kids are forced to carry the can because of the way that we treat ourselves, adults. If the research finds that tamariki aren't being sufficiently considered in sentencing decisions, Kylie, what practical changes could be made to better protect them while still maintaining accountability within the justice system?
That's a very good question. One is raising public awareness. And again, part of that education piece will be to make recommendations in respect of care for children in the education settings, so professional development within the schools and to the Ministry of Education. Judicial education, that's something that we are aiming for, to make sure that judges are aware, as you say, of the intergenerational impacts. For one, the research shows internationally that the biggest risk factor for a young person in terms of their probability or likelihood of going to prison later in life is imprisonment of a parent. That needs to be, judges need to be reminded of that every time. So if there is any way that you can keep a parent out of jail, then that is the best, not only for that parent, but particularly for the future life pathway. As you said at the beginning, children do time with their parents, and that shouldn't be the case.
Well, we know that the funding for pre-sentence report writing was hammered early on in this coalition tenure or term. So it would make a hell of a lot of sense if judges who were involved in the sentencing of those before them knew about the family dynamics in the background. Let's hope that we get some traction here. Kylie, how long is the study to be, and what are you hoping, or where do you hope the findings will be delivered?
So it's a three-year project. This year's the first year. We're just setting up our relationships with, there are a lot of non-government agencies that assist in this space, including Pillars, for example. We're setting up those relationships. We're starting to undertake interviews. We have an advisory group of women with wahine with lived experience of imprisonment. Next year will be interviews, collation of data, and then recommendations. And as you suggest, the idea is to have a suite of not only recommendations, but practical advice for judges, development for lawyers to learn how to advocate better, advocacy for the return of maybe not cultural report writing, but for lawyers and whānau members to be able to stand up to speak to that tuke particularly. As a former cultural report writer myself, one of the most striking commonalities amongst the hundreds of people that I spoke with over a number of years was that intergenerational experience of imprisonment. Invariably, people would tell me, would characterise themselves as the black sheep in their whānau, and within minutes you would hear that that black sheep was one of a flock of sheep whose father, brother, uncles, grandfathers had all been to prison before them. And so they were part of a, as you say, intergenerational legacy of incarceration, and that cycle needs to stop. And judges and lawyers need to be aware that the individual people before them are connected by whakapapa, not only to their tamariki who may be impacted by the decision of that day, but also as the legacy of decisions that have been made about their tupuna and their whānau members before them.
Great catching up with you again, Kylie. As early legal eagle for the Warriors, I hope you got some tickets. And we've waited a long time for opportunities like this. Wonderful to talk with you again, though, sis. Thanks.
You'll be up the waz.
Good on you. Professor Kylie Quince with us, talking about an important kaupapa and research project to quest across the next few years.